Today, we're going to have a small tutorial on how to think constitutionally about current issues. Today, on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And as usual, my vice chairman's right here along with me for the ride, Chuck Michaelis.
And as usual, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, and we're glad you're here because as we've been talking this week about our form of government, we've been talking about our constitutional representative republic. We're not a democracy, we're a republic, which means that we're governed by a rule of law, and our government is governed by an organizational and operational document that we refer to as the Constitution of the United States of America. It is based in the philosophical underpinnings of what we call the preamble to that, to the preamble of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. We've talked this week about those basic unalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness or property rights. Today, what we'd like to do is spend a brief amount of time here for our 15 minutes looking at a current issue and showing you how to unpack it constitutionally, which is what we do in our classes at Institute on the Constitution, which if you go to our website at principledpolicy.com or at campamerican.com, you can find out more about these classes and where they are in your area and how to register to take these classes so that you can learn our American heritage, you can learn the basis of our freedoms, you can learn about the document itself and actually be ahead of many people in our society, including elected officials and legal officials, because you'll have read the Constitution, not just talked about it. So those are some of the things we want to talk about today.
Great. That thing about having just read the Constitution, one of the things that during our classes that we do is we make sure that people don't just read it. We teach them how to apply it. And that's one of the most important things you're going to learn, and hopefully we're going to teach you how to do that today, is how to apply the Constitution, not just know about it.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, sit back and listen with us, because here we go. We're going to be talking about a current event that most people should be familiar with, especially if you're a patriotic American. You know that there's been quite a bit of uproar and discussion and debate over the issue of health care. Coming up in November, we're going to have an issue on the Ohio ballot that's going to deal with how Ohioans deal with their health care issues and whether or not anybody, the federal government or even the state governments or local governments, can tell people how to make their decisions about health care. But what we've had recently, and I was talking with Chuck offline on this, this is absolutely a gold mine. It's a gem of an issue for dealing and unpacking how the Constitution and all of its various sections work together to come to an understanding. Now, the understanding that we're going to come to today is going to be a lot different than the understanding that was reached in this issue, but we're going to show you why we believe constitutionally that the folks who made those decisions were absolutely wrong in their decision-making process. Talking about the case that was before the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that came up from the state of Virginia, where Virginia challenged the right of the federal government to create a law mandating the states provide particular forms of health care. Whether they require them to buy, have an individual to buy health insurance, or whether or not they charge a penalty if you didn't have a minimum amount of insurance for your health care. Now, what happened was that this case, the Virginia passed a law, a state law, protecting their citizens. It is their right to do so, and we'll tell you why. Well, first of all, it talks about the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution will give you that, in the fact that the rights that are not specifically granted to the federal government, i.e. enumerated rights that are listed in Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution, which is the legislative branch's section of the document, and there are specific enumerated, that means they're spelled out, areas in which the federal government can legislate. Healthcare is not among them. So that's our first point. There is no enumerated authority for Congress to legislate in the area of health care. Okay, that's point number one. And that was Virginia's point. And so they passed this law, and immediately the federal government, through the U.S. Justice Department, filed suit against them to block it from taking effect. Well, went through the district court, and the district court said, yeah, we agree with Virginia. We believe it's unconstitutional to have a health care mandate coming down from the federal government upon the citizens of a state. Hey, that's a win for our side, right? Well, not so fast, because the Justice Department isn't satisfied with that, because that would put a black eye on the administration whose brainchild this whole health care debacle, Patient Protection Act, was all about. So they filed an appeal to the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which has the jurisdiction over the state of Virginia. And just recently, a 3-judge panel of that U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals overturned the district court's decision and upheld the right of the federal government to mandate your health care choices. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to show you why that is a problem and why the 3-judge panel of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals really needs to go back to school and read their constitution.
That's right. Well, I'm going to start by reading the basis of the ruling, and that is the what's called the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution. That's Article 6, Section 2. And it says, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and that's a very important consideration, in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. Now, that makes it look like, if you read that out of context, that anything that the federal government does has a supreme authority.
And that's exactly what the 4th U.S. Court of Appeals ruled. That was the basis of their entire decision of throwing out Virginia's lawsuit and their state law, because they said Virginia doesn't have standing. Standing means you have a legitimate right to bring a lawsuit. The U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals stood on Article 6, Section 2 and said, nope, Supremacy Clause, sorry, federal government's already ruled in this area. You can't touch it, Virginia. But, as we're going to show you, they're wrong.
And one of the reasons they're wrong is, for instance, the 4th Circuit Court of Appeals has no jurisdiction in this case. The fact is, the only court which has jurisdiction in this case is the Supreme Court.
And we're going to show you that that is Article 3 of our United States Constitution, ladies and gentlemen. And if you look at Sections 1 and Section 2, Section 1 says that the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. Yes, they've ordained and established the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. So you're saying, hey, Sheets, Michaelis, you guys are off base on this one because it's right there in black and white. Au contraire, my friend, keep reading in Section 2 of Article 3, which spells out what the judicial power is. And it says, in all cases in which a state shall be a party, and I'm looking at Article 3, Section 2, Paragraph 2, in all cases, in those in which a state shall be a party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. You see, ladies and gentlemen, original jurisdiction means a case in that respect, a case in which a state shall be a party to it, as the state of Virginia sued against the federal government, that immediately goes to the United States Supreme Court as the original court to hear the case. That is not how this happened. First of all, Virginia, and Ken Cuccinelli, who's the Virginia Attorney General, needs to read his constitution a little bit better as well. This case should have immediately have gone to the United States Supreme Court for a hearing, not to the Federal District Court, and then up to the 4th Circuit Court of Appeals, because they don't have the original jurisdiction in this case.
We actually have another something of a constitutional crisis on this issue, because the Supreme Court came out specifically and said they would not directly hear one of these cases, and said it had to go through the whole district and circuit appeals appellate process. And by the Constitution, they have no authority to turn down a case. The fact is that what that should have done immediately was John Boehner should have said, okay, we're going to hold impeachment hearings on any justice who votes against hearing a case from a state. And that is because the Supreme Court cannot refuse to hear a case from a state against the federal government.
That's correct, Chuck. You see, first of all, Article 6, the Supremacy Clause, Section 2, or Paragraph 2, there's not sections, it's Paragraph 2, basically says that the Constitution and the laws which shall be made in pursuance thereof. You see, that's key phrase. In pursuance thereof points back to something. What does it point back to? This Constitution. The first line of the phrase says, this Constitution, comma, and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, semicolon. So pursuance thereof is pursuing what? The Constitution. Coming after the Constitution. In order for a law to be a law of the United States, it has to come after or pursue the Constitution. That means it has to be in line with constitutional writ. Now, that's why because Obamacare was passed by the Congress, the legislative branch, which is Article 1 and Section 1 specifically, where it says that all legislative authority herein granted is vested in a Congress of the United States. Okay, that's our first spot to go to. All legislative authority. It didn't say some. It didn't say part. It didn't say only that section that the Congress chooses to exercise. All legislative power shall be vested in a Congress, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. So right there, it's in their wheelhouse for them to make the laws. Well, they made this law. They made Obamacare. Now, does that mean that then it becomes the supreme law of the land as part of the laws made in pursuance? See, that's where we have to turn a little bit farther in Article 1, and we go to Section 8. Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution are the powers that are granted to the Congress of the United States in where they have authority to make laws. And there are a number of things like borrowing money, regulating commerce, rules of naturalization and bankruptcies, coining money, punishing counterfeiting, establishing post offices, promote science and the useful arts, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court, like the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, to declare war. And we're going to talk about these in later episodes of how Congress has basically abdicated their responsibilities, their enumerated powers in many of these areas to other people and to bureaucracies. But right now, the one thing you're not going to find in Article 1, Section 8 is anywhere where it says that the Congress shall have the power to make laws regarding health care.
But Barry, what about the General Welfare Clause?
But we will talk about that in a later episode of why general welfare has been stretched like the old Stretch Armstrong dolls to a point where it's unrecognizable in how the founders interpreted general welfare and how it's being used today. But going back to what we're saying here, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said, nope, you don't have standing to sue Virginia because of the Supremacy Clause. We've just unpacked that, number one, They shouldn't have even been ruling in the first place, because any case that involves a state, the Supreme Court has original jurisdiction. Regardless, the Supreme Court can't unilaterally rule that they won't hear the case or that it must go through the lower courts first. Only Congress can make that particular exception on the Supreme Court. Now, we look at Congress. They are bound for a law to have effect in the United States, and I know, operationally, we've got a lot of laws on the books that are not in pursuance of the Constitution. Well, those are laws that are not laws. That's the reason why we've strayed from a constitutional representative republic towards socialism, because there are a lot of things, as an old commentator said, it isn't the things that we don't know, it's the things that we know that just aren't so that are the problem. This is what the problem is. So Virginia should never, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals should never have heard this, because Article 6 is the wrong place, because Obamacare is patently unconstitutional, because Congress does not have the authority under Article 1, Section 8, or even under the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution to legislate in the area of health care. That is a power reserved to the states or to the people, respectively.
Join us tomorrow at noon for that 1-hour show.